What's up, team? Welcome back to What the F45 podcast. And today we are covering protein, performance, and maintenance calories as we prepare for the next 6 and 8 week challenge coming up in the F45 community globally. We dig into the importance of protein and its role in the body and some of the best sources, how to track your maintenance calories accurately, and performance metrics to track, like competing in F45 playoffs, which is coming up in our studio on August 19th, and exercises in the gym to track so that you have non-scale victories to track your results. Hope you enjoy this one. It's very important details, some of the stuff that we talk about all the time, but it never becomes less important.
All right, what's up, team? Hope you guys are having a fantastic day. And we certainly are. We've got 3 days of sunshine here in Ontario, so we're pretty pumped about that. We've got a good event with our friends on Friday. We're going to be doing some wine tasting. And I kind of mentioned that on purpose because it is the summer and we do like to have fun, but we still like to stay healthy. So today's podcast is all about that. We talked about counterbalancing before, which is this idea of day-to-day maintenance of your weight and your health through certain behaviors, but also making certain allowances and having what I always like to talk about, withdrawals and deposits, withdrawals from and more deposits into the health bank account. So today we're going to talk specifically about the F45 challenge, and not just one challenge, but how to have a bit of a strategy, a multi-challenge approach. So it's 2022, it's the fall, we have a 6 week challenge coming up at F45 on August 22nd to October 1st, followed by a very shortly thereafter an 8 week challenge from the 24th to the 17th of December, 24th of October to the 17th of December. And F45, they love to do that 6 to 8 week combo, but what I love is they let us out of the challenge right before Christmas so we can enjoy all our sweet treats. So this podcast is really for F45ers, specifically at Hamilton, but also all over the world. And hey, if you are just on a fitness journey and you're starting to get curious about how to optimize your diet for the things you're trying to do with your fitness routine, you're also going to get some nuggets here as well, right? So as we are in the end of the summer here, one of the things that Andy and I were talking about with the 6 week challenge coming up is this realistic for our community, right? Typically for historical context, for those who haven't listened to us before, or haven't done an F45, an 8 week challenge is typically centered around a meal plan, centered around healthy, nutritious meals that F45 will design for whatever type of diet you are, mainstream, whether you're vegetarian, vegan, there's options for everybody. But the idea is to learn a lot about yourself, about nutrition, and how to make very wholesome, whole food-based nutritional meals. And over the 8 weeks, typically what we see is that people add lean muscle mass and they lose body fat. But it is intense. It's intense in that it's usually a quantum shift for a lot of people. And so as we think about the 6 week challenge, we think about our members all over the world, but our members at Hamilton who have done multiple challenges, and we think about people who have never done a challenge and being successful, the summer isn't, for obvious reasons, always the ideal time to knock out a challenge. And so we have a bit of a strategy we wanted to propose and talk about today to help people be successful. So during the 6 week challenge, which is coming up on August 22nd, the three focuses that we're going to have at Hamilton downtown. And when I say focuses, I don't mean if you want to go full on with the challenge, you can't go and observe what's right off the F45 website and app and absolutely do it to the T. Totally can. We'll provide you with the body scan. You have questions for us, we'll answer them. But what we're going to be messaging about are three key ideas for this challenge, which we think are realistic and probably the most impactful. And here they are. Number one, getting an adequate amount of protein. If you've listened to us before, we talk about this a lot because people still need help here. Number two, understanding your metabolism. Okay, and the two aren't mutually exclusive. They're sort of connected. And the third one is focusing on measuring our performance. So yes, we'll be looking at our body weight as we learn about our metabolism, but in terms of tracking something meaningful during this challenge, we're really going to be looking at our performance, and we're going to actually propose how to do that in this podcast. So if we do this right, We're going to learn enough to help us and set ourselves up to absolutely crush the next 8-week challenge, which is a few weeks after. Whether you have a weight loss goal, a muscle building goal, or a performance goal, this 6-week challenge can serve as a great springboard for that.
Yeah, I think it's important to also remember that we can achieve so much more when we're consistent or we make small changes and we have a longer term goal rather than only focusing on these little challenges, 6 weeks here, 8 weeks there, to completely, you know, do a 180 that isn't realistic. It's not sustainable in the long run, which, you know, you can see a lot of results that way. And we've seen people do that in our challenges, but it's not something that you are understanding your habits, you're learning, and you're taking that to the next challenge. So we always want to approach our challenges as if we are, you know, gearing up to something longer term, or what did we learn from the last challenge that we're taking to the next challenge so that we can continue to crush it, not just look at them as these little, okay, it's a crash diet. Like, that's my biggest fear, is that they're viewed as or used as crash diet, which is like a culture that we want to get away from, because we've learned so much about how they actually ruin your metabolism in the long run and they don't create a healthy relationship with food. So that is why we're focusing on protein and maintenance calories, which is kind of the first area that we're going to get into.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, everything Andy said is absolutely true. And we also believe that even though it's the summer and even though there's fun all around us, we still can achieve things and it can 100%. Be enjoyable. And so, you know, if you listen to our podcast on resistance training recently, we talked about protein because you can't really separate protein and lean muscle mass from resistance training. But, you know, one of the focuses or challenges we're going to issue to our team is getting your lean body mass at the minimum, your lean body mass in protein per day. Well, what does that mean from a calculation standpoint? It means that if I am 200 pounds of lean body mass, I am striving to get 200 grams of protein through my diet on a daily basis. And so how do I measure my lean body mass? Well, you can use an estimate. So if you feel you're around, you know, 10 to 15% body fat, then, you know, you're 200 pounds, do the math. Maybe that's around, I don't know, 170 grams or so. If you miss and get 200 grams or you come short and get 165 grams, I think you're still doing okay. But what we're going to issue is the challenge of at least getting your body weight in protein. Now, a lot of people might worry, well, what if I get double my body weight in protein? Good luck. It's really hard to eat that much protein for most people. And that's kind of the challenge we see.
Too much protein in. And I'm always like, I would love to see that be the problem, but it never, ever is. And I know we feel like we sound like broken records around this, but we like to really hammer it home because it needs to be reminded of the importance of protein for everything that we do, but even in other scenarios. So your body needs protein for growth and maintenance of bodily tissues. So that's organs, connective tissues, like enzymes. your ligaments, of course your muscles, but I think everyone always just assumes that protein helps your muscles and that's it. That's all it does. It's so much more important than that. And yeah, it helps enzymatic reactions and other metabolic functions. So it's very, very complex. But, you know, we are either in an anabolic or growth state or we're in a catabolic breakdown state. And protein has a huge role in that to help prevent that catabolic breakdown from happening too often or frequently. And, you know, a lot of times in our lives, whether it's we are, you know, working out every day or working out hard, maybe we're athletes, even if you're not considered an athlete, if you're working out hard, if you love playing tennis like Justin does, and he's also doing his workouts at F45, we have a lot of repair going on. Maybe you're injured as well. Even if you just have a small injury, your body requires more protein for repair. Whether you're pregnant or breastfeeding, you need even more protein than you did prior. So understanding your needs based on those categories above make it clear that everyone's needs are highly individual, but also a lot higher than you think.
Yeah, and here's a crazy idea for you. I was just thinking about this as you were talking. Think about what, because, you know, you mentioned rightly that it's not just about our muscles that need the protein. We produce you know, we use protein to build enzymes. We use protein, so that's what like breaks down our food or carries out metabolic reactions or catalyzes reactions in our body. They're essential processes, chemical processes that occur. Hormones, proteins are used in peptide hormone production, right? Bones, ligaments, like you said, organs. We're made up of protein and fat. We're not made up of carbohydrates. We're not plants.
Why these are essential to
you
the
You got body. It. Exactly. So if you think about like, well, I don't want to eat protein. What's your liver made out of? Like mm-hmm. if you're eating liver, what are you eating?
Protein. The most nutrient dense food now, in the world.
There are some carbohydrates stored in some of these tissues as glycogen, right? In the liver and in the muscle. Sure, you can argue that with me, but this is storage. This is an essentially functional tissue within, you know, these organs that is, you know, part of the sort of structural integrity, if you will, right? This is, we're storing carbohydrates, right? But we don't produce them, right? We take glucose when we build muscle glycogen, sure. But, you know, plants, starch, that is actually what plants are using for their structure, unlike us. We're using protein to facilitate our structure. So anyhow, this is why they're essential and why we most of us need to get more. And it's not just me and Andy that are beating this drum. You're hearing this everywhere that, you know, protein is essential. And it's also being demonized because everything's a pendulum. Mm. When the pendulum swings one way and people are saying, hey, we really need to get more protein. And the scientists are saying we need to get more protein. Elderly people need to get more protein. People losing weight need to get more protein. The pendulum swings the other way and people say, well, what about this thing mTOR, right? Mammalian target of rapamycin, this idea, this trigger that when it gets turned on, it creates, you know, proteins metabolizing and growth is happening. Well, if that's turned on all the time, is it going to cause cancer? The reality is things are associated, right? And so we look at different measures in the body and we say, well, because, you know, we're seeing cell division and mTOR is up, mTOR must be causing it. No, that's not the reality, right? Most of us in this gym, unless we have, and I don't want to freak anyone out here, but unless you had severe, severe, severe kidney issues and the doctor was absolutely like, we really need to watch your protein, you're okay to have your body weight in protein, okay? So just because there's someone in your life potentially that had a kidney issue that had to be mindful for kidney stones or whatever other reason mm-hmm. because they had, what type of kidney stone was it? Where
there's uric acid or there's the calcified or calcium ones.
Right. That doesn't mean that's a generic rule for everybody. Most people are under eating protein. We absolutely mean this. So your first challenge on this 6 week challenge is to get your body weight and protein. Trust us. Do this for 6 weeks. Do it for 6 weeks. See what happens.
Yeah. So how do we do that? We are going to suggest you use apps. Of course, you can do sort of a journaling method or the palm of your hand type of visual method. And those are all great. And if you've never tracked or done anything like that before, I understand that that can be incredibly overwhelming at first. But I just feel so strongly. I mean, apps are just so easy to use these days. I can't imagine it being too overwhelming for our general F45 population.
I think where apps get overwhelming is when people are trying to do a restrictive diet. And again, yeah. That's not what we're proposing here, right? We're actually talking about construction. We're talking about adding, right? So, you know, the palm of the hand thing is cool for understanding that, wow, I didn't know that there was 27 grams in a chicken breast the size of the palm of my hand. Mm-hmm. Interesting. But most of us, and I'm included in this group, are not going to be able to just think, well, how many palms of my hand of meat did I have today? You might do it for 1 day, 2 days, but then work happens, life happens, you get distracted,
yeah.
And you have no idea how much protein you're getting. That's why tracking is important.
It really is, and I think, you know, the more you do it, or if you give it a week or two, it just gets easier and easier. And like I always tell my clients, I don't intend anybody to track forever. So if that's something that you're thinking like, oh man, I just can't include that in my daily schedule forever, I totally understand and agree. That is overwhelming. But there are times where it's really, really important to just be a little bit more particular and dialed in on what those numbers are, so you can really truly see where your maintenance is at, which is the huge goal for us for this first 6 week challenge. And then where you would need to tweak some of your habits to make sure that when you do go into a deficit, when your calories are a bit lower, what is changing in your macronutrients and what are your goals for a longer term going forward. So we will start, or I would recommend that we would start in a maintenance calorie. So
well, before we get into that, because that's the second big point, the second big goal of this challenge, I want to wrap up the protein stuff with one more piece here. So if you are on a vegan diet for ethical reasons or digestive reasons, and that's just how you eat, you can totally still hit your protein target and get complete amino acid profiles. There's a lot of good sources out there, natural whole foods in combination, as well as some great protein powders. I know Bioptimizers, not just a plug because you're an ambassador for them, but it was the best vegan protein powder I ever had.
Yeah.
Now, if you are on a mainstream diet and you eat animal meats and you're not on a vegan or vegetarian diet, and you have this belief that, and you agree with animal proteins, you have no issues with dairy, but you have this belief that vegan equals healthy, please understand that that's not true. The easiest way, although you can do it on a vegan diet, it's much harder to get to your protein level. If you can eat dairy protein, if you can eat egg protein, meat protein, and you don't have any ethical constraints, I implore you to make your life easier and increase your probability of success by having whey isolate protein, egg protein, Canadian protein cells online, all different versions of this based on if you have digestive issues. But animal protein is going to give you that easy, complete amino acid profile. It's going to make life way better. Please do not believe that Vega, or you know, I see Vega specifically, or Vega protein.
Yeah.
I hear so much, like I talk to clients, like, I'm healthy now, I'm eating healthy, thus I only eat vegan proteins.
Yeah.
Not true. Not true, guys. Like, don't go down that rabbit hole. Please gravitate, I mean, I'd say like 70% toward those animal proteins. And yeah, there are some digestive benefits, they say, in mixing in the pea protein, which I totally subscribe to. I think that's great.
Yeah,
that's why I was eating the Bioptimizer
protein.
Everything
counts towards your protein target.
But so, you know, now that we're going down this kick and you're like, hey, we're doing the 6-week challenge, we're getting our protein, I got to go find all the vegan protein I can. Not the right approach if you don't have ethical constraints.
Exactly. I think, you know, I've been reading a lot of nutrition books lately and supplementation and just totally understanding how healthy these foods are for you and that they cannot be replicated by plants, unfortunately. And you can put the combinations together that you want, certain types of beans and legumes, nuts and seeds, and certain vegetables contain small amounts of protein and amino acids. But to put it into perspective, I read something the other day that said, you know, something like glycine, which is part of collagen. And collagen is something that cannot be replicated by plants. It is impossible. It's part of the connective tissues of animals. And unfortunately, that just depletes and disintegrates as we age. So that's your connective tissues and your knees and your, you know, if you're feeling those joint inflammation, any pain like that, your hair, your skin, your nails, those things will slowly start to disintegrate over time. And eating those foods that are high and nutrient dense in those types of amino acids will help repair those tissues so that you will be able to perform better longer and even look better longer. So those can't be replicated in the same amounts from vegan sources. Now, there are small amounts of glycine in some foods. So you might see from some table charts that there are these amino acids if you combine these certain things. Now, that takes
often
a lot.
You have to have 17 plates of kale to
get
there.
Or like, you know, an obscene amount of beans, like something that nobody would ever be able to consume in one sitting. So it's like, sure, there's the same amount of glycine in this much soybeans or legumes or something, but it's an obscene amount. So you have to understand, is it likely that you're going to get those, the right amounts of it, even if you combine them together? You know, you
what
would really
first extreme flatulence or muscle building.
Yeah,
I bet the former.
Yeah, it's you know, and again, I don't want to make it sound like we are completely against it. There are great ways to incorporate a lot of healthy foods this way. But when it comes to certain types of amino acids, and honestly, certain types of omega-3s and DHA is incredibly hard to get from plant sources unless you're eating algae all day long too. So these are essential to our growth, repair, our health, our hormones. So, you know, if you are, or if you're going down that path, or if you thought about going down that path, understand that you will need to take some time to really, truly understand it before just assuming that vegan, you know, beet brownies are going to be the path to health.
Yeah, just vegan doesn't equal healthy. Carnivore diet doesn't equal healthy. It's about understanding kind of the balance of what you need and how your body feels and what your objectives are. That equals healthy, right? So anyhow, moving on.
What's up, team? It's Coach Andy here to talk about Bioptimizers. They are a supplement company that I am an ambassador for. And the reason being is because I absolutely love their products. And that is why I contacted them to become an ambassador and not vice versa. So I only talk about products that I actually use myself and love. So I know you're going to love these. They have the best formulations of probiotics, digestive enzymes, magnesium, and more. So check out their website at www.bioptimizers.com. That's biooptimizers.com. Use code COACHANDY for 10% off their entire site.
Yeah.
So Andy started to talk about trackers. So goal number two of this challenge is going to be, I'm going to get tactical here, tracking your nutritional intake without intention. What do I mean? So typically we have an intention. We start tracking, we go on a deficit or growth diet, and you know, Justin is kind of navigating the world day one. Day two, he's on some sort of deficit or growth diet, has zero idea what his baseline is, and he's relying on some sort of book or app or calculation to tell him what growth should look like, right? Mm-hmm. So often people get on diets, growth or deficit diets, without any understanding of what their true basal metabolic rate is, how they burn calories. And that's a miss. That's a miss because I genetically and from a physical standpoint could have a higher metabolism than someone with my same body weight, and I get on the same diet as them, and it's going to have a different impact for me. So our second goal to you is to track with that intention so that you can understand your metabolic baseline. So what does that mean? That means you're going to use, and Andy's going to talk about the different types of trackers you can use in a second and the pros and cons, but it means you're going to enter your nutrients without worrying about, you know, good or bad. There's no good or bad here. There just is. It is what it is. I ate X over the week and I gained and I lost weight and I learned where I sort of need to be to maintain based on my metabolism. This is so important because when we enter the next 8-week challenge where you might dial it up and say, you might do this one exactly as you did it again, just shooting for protein because it works so well for you, which I bet is going to happen for a lot of you. Or you might say, I want to dial it up a little more. Maybe I want my abs to show. Maybe I want to run a little faster. Maybe I need to be storing carbohydrates better and I have some sort of race performance goal. But you have some sort of specific nutritional intervention for that 8-week challenge. Maybe you don't. But this 6-week primer is going to set you up to nail that. So Andy, tell us a little bit about tracking because you're the expert.
Well, I can't stress enough to start in maintenance. Really, truly. If you can remember one thing from this challenge, apart from how important protein is, which we talk about all the time, is start in maintenance.
What's
when you're tracking.
Mean?
It is understanding your maintenance calories, which is your basal metabolic rate, which is what Justin was just talking about. So
maintenance calories to what?
To what?
To stay the same, right? Like, oh, yeah, I'm yeah. Like, if I'm 150 pounds, me? How many calories do I essentially need to stay that
always
same body weight?
Always gotta be trying to quiz me.
You can't read my mind. You can't read my mind. You can't see what I'm thinking. We're doing the podcast in the morning today, guys. We're, yeah.
We've got
Bowie. A little stiff.
We've got Bowie in the background crying and all that. So to stay the same, more or less. And that always sounds so disappointing to people at first.
Lame.
When it's like, why am I going to track my calories, track my protein, all this stuff, if I'm just planning on staying the same? I know that sounds unsexy, but honestly, you're going to learn so much. And think about it this way. Imagine that if you really knew where your maintenance was at, that you wouldn't need to go in that much of a deficit to make a difference, or even just being slightly above your maintenance calories to grow. I mean, everyone always assumes like, oh, the bodybuilding culture created this bulking phase, and that means the more I eat, the better. And if I gained 30 pounds, that means I gained a bunch of muscle in a small period of time, which is unlikely, especially if you did it this sort of junk food way, or if it fits your macros approach. You might have just gained mostly body fat, and then you'd have to work to get that body fat off to show the muscle that you might have built if you were training properly.
Yeah, not to mention the insulin insensitivity that you've created in doing so. And it's funny, I was reading some studies recently, and they're suggesting that there's actually an ideal surplus for muscle building, lean muscle building, right? Which is only a couple hundred calories.
Yeah,
above
it does
maintenance.
Not
like
need
700
to be
calories.
A lot. Yeah, that's the
sorry,
thing.
Boys. Can't go eat a 6 Big Macs if you're trying to build bigger biceps.
Yeah, like so. We always want to, and you know, I'm way happier if somebody wants to look at food as fuel that way and not punish themselves in the way of like, because I'm all about if you do have a treat or a cheat, however you want to call it, on the weekend, or you had a, you know, something you don't normally have. Think of it the next day that you have have added extra fuel into your tank, not I need to work this off. So that's one good takeaway from the sort of bulking phase that some, you know, people in the bodybuilding culture might talk about. But for the most part, if you don't understand where your baseline average maintenance calories, BMR, is at currently, then you don't really know where to start. And you're probably going to start from the wrong place, and especially from a deficit. That's where things can really go wrong.
Well, actually, our goal should be like within responsible limits, right? And I don't mean eating, you got to drive your calories at the 5,000 per day. That's not what I'm saying. Because, you know, then you're doing so much activity, you might be injuring yourself. But we should be trying to, if, you know, my goal should be, if my maintenance is around 1,500 calories right now, I should be striving to get my maintenance up to, like, say, 1,700 calories, because it means I'm increasing the size of my engine. It means I have more metabolic flexibility and forgiveness if I have a day out or whatever, and I have a bigger caloric day, or I have an average of days because I'm on vacation. Having that higher baseline is going to help me burn more at a given body weight, right? Versus driving it the other way. Let's see how much I can restrict. How much can I restrict and still kind of navigate the day? Well, that means you're going to have less metabolic flexibility, smaller engine, and you're going to gain weight easier when your calories are in a surplus.
Your metabolism will adapt. It always does. So if we have taught it to survive off of less and less calories, it's going to do the minimal amount of work to make sure that you don't, you know, waste away. So it's going to lower all of those metabolic functions and your metabolism so that it doesn't disintegrate too quickly, because it's always worried about your survival. So it does that to protect you. It's not trying to do it to prevent you from getting rid of your, you know, a little bit of extra fat here or there. So if you think about giving yourself more food, but you're also training accordingly, everything is going to be running differently. Your engine is going to be burning more fuel, and it's going to be burning at a higher rate. So if you start your calories at assuming, okay, well, I've always needed to go to 1,100 calories, and you go directly there from where you just were, it's always just too big of a jump. And of course, you might see that initial weight loss right away, but then what always happens is you plateau, and you plateau really quickly. So you want to build your metabolism back up. And sometimes that means using something like tracking properly in maintenance. That doesn't mean, well, I'm eating sort of maintenance right now, I'm in and around the same weight, I'm not happy necessarily around this, what this is, but this is pretty much what my set point is, and I'm eating like that. But imagine that you just tracked properly and really understood where your calories were coming from, if they were mostly coming from carbs and fat rather than protein, how your body composition might start to change, even if you were around the same amount of calories. So there's a lot to learn from tracking and maintenance. So I cannot stress this enough. Give yourself even a couple of weeks, even if you wanted to approach this challenge where you still wanted to lose a little bit of body fat. Believe me, you can do that around maintenance by understanding that you're getting enough protein in. But then if you wanted to slowly start going into deficit, at least you know exactly where that should start from if you gave it at least half of this 6-week challenge is in maintenance. So, you know, depending on what your goals
are. Well, I mean, as soon as people start tracking, they start eating healthier. It just happens, right? Like, I mean, I was doing it last week, just kind of looking at my maintenance, and this, you know, lo and behold, I'm hitting my protein targets all of a sudden. I'm cooking more meals, because it's just some sort of behavior that goes with taking an interest in your dietary intake and making healthy choices. Now, if it fits your macros as an approach to dieting that I think is getting taken out of context and demonized a bit, where it says nothing else matters but calories and specifically how many calories are coming from carbohydrate,
protein.
Like
you can lose
protein.
Weight on the Twinkie diet, right, which they have fat. Proven. But
and so you get people on the other end of that spectrum to say these guys are crazy. All they tell you to eat is Big Macs all day. So let's be very clear. Andy and I talk a lot about the big rocks, calories, and the three main macronutrients, because it's easy to understand and it's going to get us down the right path. So take that and then add to it primarily eating whole foods, right? Mm-hmm. Does that mean you don't track the cookie if you have it? No, track the cookie. But what we're trying to say
and
is that
the
what we recommend, yes, track the alcohol. What we recommend is that you do the if it fits your macros approach, but you use a whole food diet, right? So these are whole foods, if usually not in a package. If they are, there's 1 to 3 ingredients, not 17 ingredients, right? Mm-hmm. Even if they sound pretty and they package those ingredients up to sound natural, they're not. When there's like over 3 ingredients, it's starting to get heavily processed, and that's what we're trying to take out. So we're whole foods, we're tracking without any kind of weight loss goal, just understanding how our body weight is changing as we sort of navigate, you know, one day higher, one day lower, trying to hit those maintenance calories, right? So
yeah, and you didn't fail if you ended up eating more than your maintenance calories one day.
That's right.
You know, so that's something to remember and not beat yourself up over, because it's very normal to have fluctuations each day too. That's why sometimes I find calorie counting or restriction in that way and trying to eat the exact same amount of calories every single day, it's very unrealistic. We don't even burn the same amount of calories every single day. We would never really know for sure. But even if you use a exercise tracker of some sort, whether it's your Fitbit or an Oura Ring, you would see that every day is a little bit different based off of your movement, right, and things that it would never know, because you know you could burn more one day because of the type of food you eat. The thermic effect of food causes a different type of metabolic burn and rate than one day to the next. So you would never really know if you are technically a 2,000 calorie per day, you know, engine or not. So just remember that it's okay to fluctuate up or down, but just being consistent and understanding your macronutrients is more important to me than your overall calories, but they do work together, and you would need to know, okay, where should I be starting from?
So we're going to move on to the last, which is performance. But one thing we didn't do there that we want to leave you with are, like, what are the actual tactics or tools that I can use to track, right? So we'll talk really quickly about that. So I'll talk about the first two. We're going to give you three, and then Andy can talk about Avatar quickly, because we've got a lot of content out there in Avatar, but we're basically going to just set the expectation on how to be successful with it. So the first two I want to talk about are MyFitnessPal, which I'm not a pro in at all, but it seems like the rest of the world is, and MyNetDiary. Both of these are getting better every day. They're starting to look more like Avatar in terms of the tools that they offer and kind of giving you advice. Both are, I think MyFitnessPal has a subscription where you can pay probably for more features, but there's also a free version, as there is with MyNetDiary. And at a minimum with these free versions, what you can do is enter what you eat in, and it'll tell you how many macronutrient, or what from each macronutrient bucket, how much you're taking in, and also how close you are to whatever goal you've set or it sets for you, right? Which can get confusing if you don't really know what you're doing there or what you're shooting for, because sometimes they're using sort of the food pyramids, saying you should have X amount of carbs or X or not a lot of fat, when, you know, we kind of know that those food pyramid driven RDAs, recommended daily amounts, aren't really optimized for performance. So just be careful with that. But at the very least, you're going to get your caloric intake. And the good thing compared with Avatar is that intuitively, right out of the box, MyNetDiary and MyFitnessPal have a much broader library. So basically anything you scan with the scanner or enter in, it's going to have it there. Mm-hmm. And Avatar is getting better by the day. And of course, you can add, we tend to eat the same foods over and over again. So within a day or two, you're going to have added all your foods in there, and it won't be an issue anymore. But that's sort of, there's those options there as well. We prefer Avatar, and Andy will give you the 2-minute rundown as to why and how to use it.
Yeah, so Avatar Nutrition, you can look it up online. They also have a really great recipe library if you're ever looking for inspiration. And of course, they have an app. So the app is a little bit more clear in regards to your macronutrient goals. So those are displayed very clearly every day, what those targets are in grams. Whereas MyFitnessPal, it's very hidden. They only show you your calorie target. So that's my little beef with MyFitnessPal, is that it's calorie focused and people just try to stay within that range. But you have to go through a little bit of a, you know, settings to go look for your graph that then describes how much protein, fat, and carbs you have consumed that day. So, and then by the time you look at it, it's kind of too late. The end of the day has already happened and people have, you know, grossly underestimated how much protein that they actually consumed. So now it's not impossible if you really know MyFitnessPal well, then you can absolutely do it. And it's a free app to use right away. Whereas Avatar is a paid subscription. I believe your first 2 weeks are free anyways, if you've never used it before. So on a new email, and then we have a discount code. You can just put in F45 at the checkout and you'll get 10% off. It's only like $10 a month. So it would bring it down to 8 or 9. I think that's in US. So I can't really remember at the moment off the top of my head. You can cancel at any time. So give it a try. It's always worth a try because I use it to coach my clients and it works incredibly well. People are actually understanding what their targets are, how to divide that between their meals, where they're really lacking in their meals as far as where they're hitting those targets on average as well. So then there's a ton of other settings on
there. So I go in there, I put my kind of specs in, my height, my weight, and I choose maintenance as my goal.
Yes.
And then Avatar is going to give me an estimate on how many calories it thinks I should have. I'm going to go through the week. I'm going to try and hit my wheels of macros, as Andy described. They're right there in the face. They hit you right in the face. You can see all day. You're shooting for a green, a green circle. And by the way, if I have too many carbs or too many fats, I can slide that ruler around to lean toward more fat intake for a day or more carb intake for the day, still trying to hit my maintenance calories. Now, after a week, I'm going to have this check-in experience where I weigh myself again. If I have the opportunity, look at where my body fat's at. If I have a way to measure that, make sure that you're using the same measurement tools the whole time. Meaning, you know, if you're using a bioimpedance scale at home, use that the whole time. If you use the InBody, we can do check-ins throughout the challenge. InBody's our F45 body fat scanner. And take measurements. Avatar is this great way for you to take pictures of your side, front, and back, as well as measurements, circumference around the arms, the waist. Those things are equally, if not more important than the body fat scanner, which is sometimes a gross estimate. But nonetheless, Avatar is going to take all of that input and it's going to, especially the body weight, and it's going to say, hey, you've gained or lost. We're going to adjust your maintenance calories. And what we typically see is that people lose weight when they hit their maintenance target. And then Avatar will then increase your calories slightly to see, well, can we maintain our body weight and all these statistics?
And that's not a bad thing, guys.
With more calories. And like I said earlier, it's not a bad thing because being able to eat more calories and maintain weight means our metabolic rate's going up, our engine's increasing, and our metabolic flexibility is going up as well.
Yeah, we need to remember that Avatar, they're using an equation called the Mueller equation, and every app that is estimating your calories based off of your daily exercise is only one small piece of it, but your daily movement is another whole story. So it's going to ask you in two different ways, your exercise versus or in addition to your daily activity. If you have a sedentary lifestyle and job, it's going to be very different than if you were on your feet all day. So those things do matter. And then that's still an estimation based off of how often do you work out and then how hard and how much muscle tissue do you already have, plus your daily activity. Are you a 10,000 steps a day type of person or only 2,000? Going to be a very big difference. So once it gets that first estimation down, then it'll learn about your body. And I think that's the thing that people don't give these apps, any of them, the time to do is actually learn about your body and, you know, understand that first week might not be the most accurate. More often than not, it's going to underestimate the amount of calories you need. That's why most people still lose weight on their maintenance calories. So that's a great experiment to understand that, hey, this first week I still even made progress, which could also be due to just being very mindful about eating more protein and fiber and whole foods, because those will burn more, the thermic effect of food. So sometimes that's part of it. You're reducing inflammation, that's part of it. So your first week you might lose more and then the next week you don't, but that's fine because you're still around that maintenance and that you finally found that right maintenance calories. So it's not expecting that if you lost weight that first week that you're going to continuously lose weight on those calories. Sometimes it's also about that buffer that first week.
All right. So two things we've covered. Getting your body weight and protein. If I weigh 200 pounds, I'm taking in 200 grams of protein. The reality is it's lean body mass, but we're talking about 10 to 15 pound swing. So just shoot for your body weight, a gram of protein per pound of body weight. Number two, we're going to track without intention in order to define or understand what our maintenance calories are. And if we can, organically throughout the 6-week challenge, we'll probably see those maintenance calories increase. And it's likely because you're training and you're getting protein, so you're building muscle over 6 weeks and your metabolic rate's going up. Now, last but not least, is performance goals. So instead of having a weight loss goal, which may happen or may not happen, or a body composition goal, which will likely happen through this maintenance phase, but might not happen, let's talk about performance goals. Because we're eating normally, getting more whole foods into our diet, it's likely, and training with a bit more intentionality because we are in some sort of a challenge, why not measure performance, right? So let's look at some key exercises that we do at F45, or if you do any kind of functional training, you likely do, and let's measure before and after. The easiest way to do it is participating in the F45 playoffs. So we are having a playoffs at our Hamilton studio on the 19th. So if you're signed up for that, great. This is an awesome way. It's just like doing a body scan, right? But it's for your performance. How did I do in the playoffs? How many points did I score in the playoffs before and after the 6-week challenge? Holy smokes, I did 150% better after having hit my protein targets for a whole 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's not crazy to suggest that, guys.
Also, don't be intimidated by playoffs. I know it sounds crazy. It's crazy 10 minutes. It is difficult, but just to let you know, we actually have a member who is currently pregnant, who plans on participating, even though I looked at the list and I was like, what? I think she just wants to see.
It starts with an L, right?
Yes. I think she wants to see, still some of her targets and how it's changing. But obviously, she's not going to be pushing herself to the same degree. So just know that you can take it at any pace. But the thing is that when we are in that sort of competitive performance mode, we do want to go, and you're getting cheered on, you do want to see what you can do.
Yep.
So don't be intimidated by it, that it's not a comparison with anybody else. It is about tracking your progress and going at your own pace, and that's all that really matters.
Yeah, okay. Now, if you're not doing the playoffs, what else can you do? Measure these key lifts, right? So here they are. Push-ups. Day one of your 6-week challenge, how many push-ups can you do from start to absolute exhaustion where you can't push another push-up without breaking at the hips so your form breaks down, or lifting yourself off the ground, okay? Mm-hmm. How many can you do? Deadlift. We do deadlifts in the studio all the time. We recommend the barbell deadlift. In a 45-second set at F45, how much weight can I do for deadlifts consistently the whole time, right? So if it's a 45-second set and I did 135 pounds, could I carry that through the full set? If you're doing this at home, you're not an F45 member, for a 10-rep set of deadlifts, what weight are you doing with excellent form for 10 reps, right? Mm-hmm. Measure before and after. Rower, so this is now measuring anaerobic power, so your ability to have power output in a kind of cardiovascular functional movement. So the rower, we're going to be looking for in a 45-second set, how many total meters or total wattage can I get over 45 seconds? You want to make sure when you're doing this that you have the dampener or the power setting, which is the little lever on the side of the rower or the ski erg, whatever you decide to leverage for this, or even the bike erg. So we have Concept 2 bike ergs, rowers, and ski ergs in the studio. You want to make sure that dampener is consistent. Might as well put it all the way up to a 10 and measure before and after total meters. And then lastly, for aerobic fitness, resting heart rate. And I love this one because this one isn't measured at the gym. This is measured using your Apple Watch, Fitbit. What's your resting heart rate? What is your tracking system telling you about your resting heart rate on day one of your 6-week challenge versus at the end? Has it changed? If you've been hitting your cardio workouts at F45 consistently and your strength workouts, have we seen an aerobic fitness improvement? Do we see our heart rate changing? Right now, if you've been doing F45 for 4 years, you may see a marginal change, if any. But if you're newer, what a great opportunity to see the aerobic benefits of doing this program.
100%. You should be able to see that it's going to lower a little bit. I have also noticed when I was tracking and I was getting ready for my first bodybuilding competition that my heart rate had lowered during that time as well, because I was also being very, very mindful of my food intake and training, but pretty much the same, but if just a little bit more. So it was actually lowering my heart rate and I was resting and getting into deep sleep a lot quicker. Some of my best biomarkers were around that time, surprisingly enough, because usually you would think when you're prepping for a competition like that, that you aren't in the healthiest state. But honestly, there are some things that we can learn about tracking those things to see how it's improving. And then when you see that things like that are improving, if you're actually tracking things like your heart rate, your deep sleep, you know, tracking things that aren't scale oriented will really start to make you feel a little bit more intrinsically motivated by those things rather than looking at your scale. So I think that it's just so much more powerful to be like, wow, my health is improving, my longevity, things that are markers that are actually going to ensure that I feel at my best for a lot longer is so much more important than just did the scale move this month.
Love it. All right, guys, we're going to leave you there. Just Step one, step two, that's how we're taking the challenge on in our community this fall. We're going to talk about abundance, abundant protein, abundant nutrients in, abundant calories, but just understanding how our body responds to that through maintenance. And then we're going to look at our performance. Wow, did my performance improve with not worrying about losing weight, and like Andy just said, and worrying and obsessing about tracking, but just eating normally, eating whole foods, eating enough protein? How did that impact my performance? And then what did I learn, and how do I put that into my 8-week challenge where I tighten things up a bit toward my goal? Mm-hmm. So that is your formula. We're super pumped to do this with you guys. We're certainly, I think Andy and I are going to be doing this to close out the summer as we get ready for some life events of our own. No, we're not pregnant. I know we keep teasing that one around, but you know, just trying to get in a healthy state for family planning for the future, right? So, you know, it's, you know, I think one more thing on that I didn't mention, which is so true, is I tried to track last week and I started out like really well, but then Andy was giving me these like amazing lunches that were so whole food based and nutritious, and but I couldn't track it because I didn't make it, right? So I think if you can do it, try and do this with your partner or your roommate so that you guys are making meals together and measuring things out together. Because as soon as you start getting too far off with tracking and estimating, it sort of falls apart. So you want to control what you can and see if the household can get sort of behind this or your partner.
Accountability buddy, something like that.
Yeah.
Even if it's not somebody at home.
And if you're single, it's real easy.
It's gonna, yeah, it'll help. But just remember, everything that you consume is either going to help or hinder your recovery, your performance, and your results over the long run. So I just think that it's so much more powerful to look at food as medicine and as a way to help heal us. So rather than just worrying about how much carbs or fat or this or that, you know, really just focus on the whole food, nutrient dense, getting enough for your recovery, and just paying attention to those little things, and then it'll all fall into place.
Sweet. I think that's it. Let's wrap it there. And we wish you guys a very happy rest of your week, and we'll see you for the challenge. Hey, Team Coach JB here. We have an incredible offer for you. So if you've never tried F45 before, right now, for half price, that's $30 for a full week of unlimited training, you can come down to 15 Wellington Street North and work out with Hamilton's Reader's Choice voted best fitness club in the city. That's 7 days for $30. Simply go to our website, www.f45training.ca/Hamilton Downtown/trial. And sign up for your 7-day trial now. You will not be disappointed.
What the F? 45.